Grab your peanuts and popcorn. Baseball is back. And that's right. Teams will be getting back out on the diamond this week. Last year's season sure was different, but that doesn't mean it lacked excitement. And this year, fans are going to be back in the stands, and it's poised to be even better. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a free shot at a share of millions of dollars in total prizes. Now, if you haven't tried it yet, fantasy baseball is easy to play on DraftKings. Just pick 10 players, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and other categories. There's no better way to put your baseball knowledge to the test than competing for a shot at millions of dollars throughout the week. But if baseball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is still offering plenty of fantasy golf action for this weekend's tournament as well. I think Blues fans might think both might be better options lately than, considering how they've played. With millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. So download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN. Again, that's promo code THPN to get a free shot at a share of the millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I was walking through the halls of a Minnesota rink when along came a Wild fan who started talking smack to me. He said, I bet you never liked the Blues until they won a cup. And so I calmly turned to him and said, hey man, listen up. I admit it's pretty great to win Lord Stanley's prize, but listen. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Heartbreak's all I knew, man. That team from old St. Lou, man. Got a cup in here, 52, man. Give me a Let's Go Blues. I know Arbor, Unger, Picker, Plager, Rad, McDonald, Shock, Hall, Chris Moore, Patey, Harvey, Jimmy, Robert, Sabourin, Berenson, Thompson, Akers, Hester, Berto, Pierre, Plant, Jock, Plant, Gossip, Merrick, Richard, Bono, Stevenson, Davidson, St. Marseille, McCreary, Lefley, Ecclestone, Huck, Palace, Harry, Talbot, Keenan, Sandy, Yassi. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Heartbreak's all I knew, man. That team from old St. Lou, man. Got a cup near 52, man. Gimme a Let's Go Blues.
And now, the starting lineup for your Blue Notes podcast, Tom Franklin.
And aloha! Welcome to the Blue Notes podcast. I'm Guy, the Hawaii Blues fan, and I'm your host on the Blue Note Fan Report and the owner of the STL Fan Report. Normally, all I would do here is my aloha commentary. But Tom and Mason are so disgusted, so pissed off, and so depressed, they couldn't do a show. So they asked me to fill in. So I said, why the heck not? And I decided to fill in for them. I love the guys. I really, really do. But come on. Win or lose, we're still fans, right? You got to do your show. I don't know, man. That's just phooey on them. We'll get on with it. So, I thought I'd start with the normal aloha commentary. I'll try and be chipper, but I can't, because the team's just really lost it. I feel like Berube has possibly lost the locker room. I'm not 100% sure. The one thing that comes into mind every time I think about this team is this. That's right. They are just plain old, disgustingly scary. And every time you watch them play, you just say,
son of a bitch.
Yep. Nothing to cheer about. And they always seem to get one of these. You know, it's this was supposed to be a great season for us. And it's turned out to be absolute trash. Nothing I can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Doug Armstrong has to figure out what's going to be best. We're less than a week from the trade deadline, would be in Monday. Hoffman and Bortuzzo skated extra in practice, which means they probably won't play tonight. Could they be traded? Hoffman, I feel sorry for the guy. I really, really do. Hoffman came in here to be the guy, and Berube didn't know how to use him. That's absolutely what it is. Berube does not know how to use Hoffman. He doesn't know how to use speed. He doesn't adjust. And it's killing us. And if you want to know when this all started, it didn't start this season. It started in the bubble. You go all the way back to the bubble, and you see how the Avalanche played us, how Dallas played us, how Vegas played us. They took the forecheck out of the game. They took it out. The goalie played the puck. There were defensemen back. They took the forecheck out of the game. Well, if the other teams are going to take the forecheck out of the game, you can't keep freaking forechecking. But that's what we do. Forecheck, forecheck, forecheck. Let's play a heavy, heavy game. Hoffman has spent the majority of the season on the third line. He's a first and second line guy. He was never put in a, and he still got 20-something points. I think 9 goals and 13 assists. Something like that. He's done good. And we just not giving him a chance. This team is, this, Berube, you brought us a cup. Thank you so, so much for that. But bring us a second one. Don't sit back on your laurels and go, this is my way, so this is how it's going to be. That's when you lose the goddamn locker room. And you have. Get it back. You get it back by looking at your guys, figuring out how they work best and using them that way, not going, we're going to forechecking. We're a heavy forechecking team, and that's what we're going to be. I'm going to put my speed on the bench. Booey on you. Wait. Oh, now they want to do a show. Well, I guess I'm going to have to throw this to Mason and Tom and say, guys, this is Guy, the Hawaii Blues fan, saying aloha, mahalo. Please like and subscribe to the Blue Notes podcast. Blue Note Fan Report, check out all them great articles on the stlouisfanreport.com. Aloha, take it away, Tom and Mason. He's going to be Blues fan rants today, I bet. Aloha.
All right, Mason, let's do this.
Do we have to?
I don't know. I guess. I guess he's right. He's right. We're Blues fans. We stick with our team to the bitter end, and this is certainly bitter. Hello and welcome to Blue Notes, located on the best city on the Mississippi, the best in the Midwest.
Are we?
No, we're not. But that's how the spiel goes. Okay, let me edit this from the rest of the way out. Okay, we've had too many defeats. We're too sour to be sweet, and we're playing clueless. So it must be St. Louis. I'm Tom Franklin. This is Mason, aka Blues Fan Rants Reacts. Who might be Blues fan rants today.
Because I don't have the energy, Tom. I don't have the energy.
I barely have the energy here. Seriously. Like I needed Guy to motivate me there. You know, just by the way, you know, can I just say something? I couldn't help but, you know, look behind Guy at the nice Hawaiian setting that, you know, he has behind him and thinking, oh, like the people on that boat. There was a boat that was kind of, you know, sliding by in the background. And it's like, you know what? They probably don't have to worry about bad hockey teams on that boat. And it'd be really nice to be on that boat right about now, because this is just depressing, Mason. And I don't know what else to say.
I mean, like, I would have totally worn a Blues jersey today, but I mean, the last, what, five times that I've worn a Blues jersey on camera, it's just been disappointment. It's been pain. Mm-hmm. I have it right here. I'm not wearing it. No way. And I have other jerseys. There's only one other jersey that I have is clean, and I feel like it would be in bad taste if I wore it. I feel like it wouldn't go well.
Slightly, yeah.
So, you know what? I'm wearing my broke Monopoly shirt. I'm wearing my wonderful athletic vest. I'm wearing a flat cap, and I'm just trying to get through this.
And you know what? I wasn't going to say anything, but during Guy's video, I saw you using that Blues jersey as a snot rag. And, you know, it's all right. It's all right. You know, it's fine. Allergies are terrible this time of year. So,
yes,
I'm just getting over that myself. And of course, I'm not wearing a Blues jersey either. This is, I'll go ahead and just pop it up for the viewing party here. This is the Humboldt Broncos. Of course, this is the week, this is the anniversary, rather, of their tragic bus crash a couple of years back. And this jersey, you know, has a little bit of a story behind it. So this jersey wasn't really meant to be sold outside of like the Humboldt community. They wanted to sell these like tribute jerseys, just to kind of like raise money for the team and for, you know, like the funeral costs for the families and all that stuff. And, the place was in mourning. Well, I guess someone from Humboldt was on, the hockey jerseys, subreddit and alerted everyone of us crazy hockey jersey collectors that they have these jerseys available. And then they were like, I think they were like $80 at the time. Which was a pretty good deal for a jersey. And, you know, everyone just piled on and got their orders in because we all wanted to help Humboldt. You know, it was, you know, the city, the town was hurting. It was a tragic event. And, you know, one thing I love about the hockey community is we all, you know, we can be rivals, but a lot of us still look out for one another. So, you know, I felt it was my small way of contributing. And so I got my order in along with hundreds of others. We overwhelmed them, and it took like a good like 8 or 9 months for me to get my jersey and everyone else to get their jersey because they were producing these out of a very small little factory or facility in Humboldt, and they could only do so much at a time. You know, it was a very small operation. But I remember calling the number for like my, you know, the customer service a couple of times, and I always spoke to the same woman. She was in Humboldt, and it was a Humboldt number. And we talked a little bit about, you know, every time, you know, she was always happy to talk about the players. Like, she, like, you forget in tragedies like this that these are more than just hockey players. These are friends. These are family in their communities that they're in. Mm-hmm. So it was always, you know, kind of, I don't want to use the word neat, but it was interesting to hear her talk about these players like they were, you know, these were her neighbors, her friends. And this is number 18. This was, it was the year that the crash happened. But on the back is T. Bieber. And Tyler Bieber was the play-by-play voice of the Humboldt Broncos. He was on that bus and he passed away. And I got that for, you know, partly for a reason. And that is because she had a lot of, she knew Tyler Bieber very well. And like, you know, she knew him growing up and had a lot of stories to talk about, you know, with him. So I got Bieber on the back, knowing that people in America, not knowing any better, would see Bieber like, "Why do you got a Bieber jersey?" I wanted that to be an opportunity to tell people about Tyler Bieber, the stories that she told me. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, the anniversary of the crash was on Tuesday night. I had one of my sticks out here, the Tyler Bozak one outside my door. You had yours out as well, I believe, and a lot of us as well. So sad moment in history, and I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that. So I'm so humble today. Even if the Blues were playing well, I would have still worn this. So just all shtick aside. Rooster Cogburn, come on, guys. Blues turn it around tonight and go on a huge winning streak. Let's go.
That's how they get you, buddy. That's how they get you.
Exactly. You sign your information over, and all of a sudden, you know, you're getting spam emails all day, phone calls, and you're pretty sure someone's got your password on the dark web. That is what it's like, you know, supporting this Blues team right now. I can't invest in this team. And apparently not even Doug Armstrong himself can fully invest in the team as well, because this isn't a rumor. I think at this point, I think what, you know, once The Athletic, once TSN, once, you know, just about every, you know, reputable hockey outlet out there comes out and says that Doug Armstrong is looking at dealing Mike Hoffman, Tyler Bozak, and other pending unrestricted free agents, Mason, it's over. It's just over. I mean, he'll give you the lip service that, you know, I mean, because he's done this before. You know, he traded Kevin Shattenkirk at the deadline in 2017, despite being in a playoff spot. He traded Paul Stastny and went to Winnipeg in 2018, despite just being a point out of the playoffs. But I think this year's different, and I think this is you need to get some assets for these guys that are not going to come back. Hoffman's not coming back. I'm pretty sure Tyler Bozak won't be back, and as the title of the episode said, we're waving the white flag. I think it's over.
Well, my thing about this is that, I mean, I knew from the beginning of the season that Bozak was leaving. I knew that Gunnarsson was leaving, and I knew that Hoffman was leaving. I knew he was just a rental. So, yeah. You know, it doesn't really – in fact, I actually would prefer that they were moved right now, because we could get something out of them at least,
yeah.
You know, rather than letting him walk in the offseason. It's like we did in 2017-18. We were fighting for a playoff spot, and at the last second we pulled the chute because we knew we weren't good enough. So we went for, you know, a good lottery pick then, and it ended up being okay. We got Clint Costin out of that, so, I mean, this one went pretty okay.
Yeah.
But – this is different because we expected to be good. We saw all the moves that Armstrong made, and that Mike Hoffman signing basically sealed that. Okay, Armstrong wants to win, and he wants to win now.
Right.
And I said, well, good job. And I didn't really think about the fact that Hoffman doesn't really fit this team. I never really thought of that. I was just like, Hoffman's a Blue. How about that?
Yeah.
And now that we're seeing, you know, the we're reaping what we sowed, basically, right now. And it's just too bad, because I can't remember what me watching Blues hockey and having something like this happen, having such a good offseason and then just being terrible for that season. This is the most underwhelming season I think I've ever watched as a Blues fan.
It really is. And the thing about this season, because, you know, remember, for a while the Blues were on top of the West. They were playing well, but I've seen, and again, I'm not an analytics expert, but I know like Jay Fresh and a few others have come out and basically pointed to the Blues being really, really, really lucky in the first half of the season. They felt that there was the analytics show that they were maybe outperforming, you know, where they should have been, which of course we didn't see it at the time because we got Mike Hoffman. You know, we've got a solid core. We're going to be competitive. We're going to bounce back from, you know, the playoffs from 2020 and the Canucks, because hey, this team doesn't have COVID anymore. Hooray! And then once everything started, I mean, because for one, injuries have killed this team. That's part of it, but it's just one piece of the full puzzle with this team that is a complete mystery, and none of the pieces fit right now. Injuries, one of them. Yes, you can kind of blame that a little bit. The offense is not clicking. In their 7-game losing streak, they have scored 8 goals total. That is not going to do it. And Mason, I am so sick and tired of seeing Blues offensive players shooting the puck right into the goalie's chest.
It's not just the fourth, because we saw Torrey Krug do it twice in the last game.
Look,
it's not going to magically. I studied theoretical physics just for a little bit just because. And apparently, the odds I calculated this, but apparently the odds of you shooting the puck through at somebody's chest and it going completely screwed through are like one in, I want to say, like 32 quintillion. So there is a chance when you shoot it at the goalie's chest, all the atoms miss each other and it goes right through.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
terrible odds. It's better odds than the Blues playoff chances right now, but it's terrible odds.
I almost feel the Blues are confused because when you're in the military and you're a sniper, you are taught to shoot at the chest, you know, as a military sniper. And that's generally good tactics and good philosophy. To be a sniper in hockey and aim for the chest, not as good. Not as good at all. So so they're confused. So injuries issue, offense is an issue, defense is an issue. They miss Parayko. And he's back.
Did they really miss him?
He's not back. He's there as a warm body, and he's probably still somehow better than Jake Walman, and Vince Dunn. But he still a -3, and he looked completely lost. Even it was so bad that Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic wrote a whole article wondering if Parayko came back too early. You know, that's how bad when he is getting the spotlight treatment from Jeremy Rutherford. That's bad. I agree. I think he's back way too early. I think you sit him for the rest of the season. Make sure his back is better because, you know, back injuries. I mean, I guess there's some thought that maybe with his back injury, he can't hurt it worse. But it's a back. You can find a way to hurt it worse.
Oh, yes, you can.
And we don't want Parayko prematurely ending his career because we let him play in the last 18 games of a foregone season.
Yeah. So, I would never forgive the coach. I would never forgive Parayko for that because he should know better. He's going to talk to Berube and he's going to be very convincing as we don't look at how bad your defense is. You need me right now. It's like, buddy, there's 18 games left. 18 games left.
They played 38.
Okay. Yeah. There's 18 games left. We suck.
Yeah.
We want to go for a lottery pick. Even if you are our saving grace on defense and you turn into 2017 playoffs Erik Karlsson, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And by the way, at this point, the Blues are 5 points behind Arizona. We are actually recording this before. Yeah, Arizona's 43. The Blues have 38. So we are not, and we are tied with San Jose, by the way, which, you know, if you're tied with San Jose in the standings, you're not doing very good. So, you know, just saying. You know,
better lottery pick, man. I'll take it.
It's bad. So, yeah, defense is gone. And, of course, our favorite topic, Mason, the goaltending is not working.
I'm gonna give you this chance right now to take back what I'm gonna give you this chance right now to take back what you said about the Bennington contract.
I thought it was a gamble at the time. I thought it was a risky move at the time. At the time he signed it, he was not playing bad. But it is obvious that Jordan Bennington has lost whatever mojo he has. In fact, Rutherford even talked about that this week in The Athletic, how he just actually, I don't think it was Rutherford. I mean, I think it was Luke Korak on Twitter was talking to Bennington and Berube, and they both agree Jordan Bennington does not have his swagger.
That's
key because that was the one thing about Jordan Bennington that helped Neil, why he was so good in the playoffs. He was always able to bounce back from a bad loss. He had a chip on his shoulder. He wanted to prove to the world that he was a starting NHL goaltender and that he deserved, you know, big money. He got his big money, and now the swagger's gone.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. One of the charts that came out. Did you see the goals allowed expected metric? But Ville Husso was on that list for practically the entire season. He's no longer on that list. Jordan Bennington has now allowed the fifth most goals above expected in the entire league.
It is bad.
Jonas Johansson is higher on that list than he is, or should I say lower than that list.
Hockey goaltending legend Jonas Johansson, who we were warned last week by Tell It As It Is host Griffin Youngs that Jonas Johansson sucks. And that's the game that we were supposed to win. And guess what? We gave Jonas Johansson his first NHL win ever.
Yes, we did. We gave it to him on a silver platter.
because we care.
Silver platter.
Because we're so gracious as
we're
hosts.
We're generous. Yes, we're very generous. We're giving everybody the points. We're saying, you know what? We've taken enough points over the last 10 years. You can have some back.
So I am willing to admit that that Jordan Binnington contract is looking pretty freaking awful.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to let the people in the live stream chat, I'm going to ask for an apology from you, too.
Yes.
Whoever thought that Binnington was wonderful, if you apologize right now, I will forgive you.
Yes. Or somehow convince us that it's going to be okay. I wish you all the luck in the world because I'm not feeling it right now. I've lost my swagger when it comes to Jordan Binnington as well. And I think a lot of Blues fans have as well. So,
oh yeah, definitely. You know, if he ends up being good, if he like after this game, he starts being amazing and starts being 2019 Jordan Binnington again, I will apologize. I will make a 10-minute video apologizing. That's how confident I am.
Goaltending's voodoo. You know, he could easily bounce back and it could be fine. I feel goaltenders often go through a lot of peaks and valleys just in their, you know, general play. It just happens. By the way, Russell Clark says he is not going to apologize, and he loves you. So
I love you too, Russell.
There you go. Thanks a lot for watching, Russell. And then, you know, so Binnington's an issue. And the thing and the other issue is we don't have a Jake Allen this year to backstop him and pick up where he is, you know, basically trailing off. We have Ville Husso. And I'm going to quote Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad. Ville Husso, you are not the guy. You're not capable of being the guy. We had a guy, but now we don't. You are not the guy. All right? It's done. Ville Husso, his status as a prospect is done. His future, his prospects, at least for the Blues, as being a potential NHL starting goalie, done.
I didn't think he could get more inconsistent than Vince Dunn, but here's Ville Husso.
Here we go. Exactly. And by the way, can we just say something? Binnington's not going to be exposed to Seattle. It'll be Husso, because Husso is that fucking bad. Okay. You know, it's not even a matter of Jordan Binnington being off or having a big contract. Husso's that bad. And Jeremy Rutherford even suggested that maybe in the offseason he's traded to a team that thinks that could salvage Husso. But with the way goalies have been like flying on waivers this season, I mean, who's going to give up a tangible asset for Ville Husso at this point? Like, really?
Nobody.
I mean,
round pick.
I feel the Blues got lucky in getting a third for Jake Allen in the offseason from Montreal. Goalies just do not have a lot of value. Just because it's a buyer's market. Every team has at least one good one. More teams are having two good ones now. So it's just goalies don't get the kind of return that you want, which is worrying with Binnington down the road. Because yes, after year three, he's, you know, his no trade goes from a full to a partial. And it kind of gets progressively, you know, better as time goes on. But you know, if Binnington is playing like he's playing now for the duration of the contract, for one, the Blues are in a world of hurt. Number two, who's going to want to take that contract on and give the Blues something nice for him? It's not going to happen, which is I'm not going to retract my initial enthusiasm for the Jordan Binnington contract because at the hindsight being what it is, at the time, I thought it was risky, but I thought it was a good risk. Now I'm not so sure. I'm just not so sure. I don't know anymore. But in the meantime, the Blues have to make some moves here, I think, before the trade deadline, which is coming up very shortly, by the way. It is coming up within the next week, essentially. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Blues do. Again, it's been out there. Mike Hoffman, Tyler Bozak are on the block. Hoffman's got a 1-year, $4 million contract. Bozak has a $5 million cap hit. And then he's a free agent after this season. By the way, I'm looking at TSN's trade bait chart. You know, they have a top 40, list of targets that could be available for trade. By the way, number 40 is Tony DeAngelo. Remember him? I think we pretty much canceled him, earlier this season, but, right now, he has Mike Hoffman at number 10, Vince Dunn at number 17, and Tyler Bozak at number 19 on the top 40 TSN trade bait list right now. So I think Hoffman's gone. Someone will take him. Someone will think that he's going to give them the offensive spark they need. And as Guy kind of noted, he needs the right system, and the Blues are just not it. You know, as Guy kept saying, forecheck. You know, we're playing a system I don't think that is really suited to the Blues anymore. You know, and unfortunately, Berube just will not change on that. And Hoffman has suffered for that. I'm not a big Mike Hoffman fan because I don't like players that are just one-dimensional and don't play defense. But Hoffman, 9 goals, 21 points. Someone will take a flyer on him. We might have to cover some salary, but it's fine. Bozak, I think someone, I mean, he's a bottom six center at this point. I don't think he would be a good number two center on a playoff contending team. I mean, he was on the fourth line Monday in, you know, Craig Berube's wacky line experiments with Tarasenko on the third line, which we can talk about in just a little bit. But Bozak, he's a good defensive forward. Blues will probably have to eat some salary, or they might have to take a salary back. You know, just to get
we'll
him
have
off
to eat
their
some
hands.
Of Bozak to get him out. Yeah, we'll need to probably $1.5 to $2 million to that. We're gonna have to eat maybe even 2.5. You know,
half, maybe the full half. Yeah, he's 35 years old, so I feel if the Blues move him on, it would be almost as a courtesy just to give him another chance at another Stanley Cup because he's not gonna get it here. So you know. And we thank Tyler Bozak for his service, by the way, if he does get moved. I as we talked about last week, I don't regret that signing at all.
I mean,
$5 million for a third line center is a bit extravagant, but he has provided value in the time.
Yeah, he played to that contract. He played damn close to that contract. That's all I asked for. I was never even mad at that. I knew that he was going to be, you know, a bottom six center. Maybe cycled into the second in case somebody gets injured. But I mean, you know, he did what he was brought on to do, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he was a Blue. You know, it's a guy that I low-key wanted to see in a Blues uniform for a few years before. But you know what? It worked out well for both guys. It worked out well for both sides. So
yeah, exactly. And you know, there were times where he was playing Selke level, you know, defense and forward, by the way. He was that good. So maybe he goes back to Toronto. That'd be interesting. What do you think Toronto fans think of Tyler Bozak? Because I know he was one of their, you know, like I think it was an assistant captain for them. And, you know, I think there was he was one of those Leafs that had high expectations, but I feel somehow disappointed.
But they probably feel the same way about him as they do about Dion Phaneuf.
Fagouf. Gotta love Dion Phaneuf. Yeah. By the way, I saw you showing off that Steve Dangle book during the video, by the way, and I feel you need to write the Blues version of that.
I need to write the Blues version. Well, I mean, see, this one is basically his autobiography. My autobiography will be boring as shit. So.
By the way, I recommend Steve Dangle's autobiography, by the way, if you haven't read it. It's a really good account of just kind of. It's a look back at kind of how he became, you know, the Toronto media sensation that he is. It also just has some general good advice if you're looking to get into broadcasting or if you're looking to improve your podcast. I listened to his audiobook when I was on a road trip from Florida, and it was he voiced his own audiobook, by the way, and it's very good. So I highly recommend that. But getting back to the potential trade targets here, Mike Hoffman, Tyler Bozak, Jeremy Rutherford just flat out said, pack your bags. They're probably going to get moved. Just for the record, Bozak has no trade clause. He had a limited 10-team no trade clause that expired in January. So he is free and clear to go just about anywhere. Mike Hoffman does not have a no trade clause at all. When he signed his $4 million deal, there was no movement or no trade in that. So he can go basically whenever. And no, he is not going to go to Buffalo as part of an offset for Taylor Hall.
No Taylor Hall. None. Say I don't want to hear it.
No,
don't want to hear it.
To Taylor Hall. Can we stop it with Taylor Hall already? Okay. He is not coming to St. Louis. And if he does, I might flip and burn a fucking car because
let's trade Mike Hoffman to Buffalo for basically a more inconsistent Mike Hoffman is what you're saying with twice
more,
the salary.
And
okay,
more expensive.
Great idea.
For the big playoff push that's coming up so we can get swept
mighty
in the first
quest,
round.
As I said in my video, a mighty quest.
Yes, and if I'm not even going to talk about whether I would rather see Vegas or Colorado in the first round, because they're both just going to absolutely stuff us in a locker. So, I mean, especially Vegas. Vegas in particular seems to love beating the crap out of us this year. I wonder why. Petro, excuse me. So that's one issue. Yeah, I know. Our killer here in St. Louis. I mean, they linger and they don't go away, you know.
Allergies.
There you go. One person that Rutherford suggested maybe have his cell phone nearby, Jaden Schwartz. So Jaden Schwartz is kind of a tricky one, and he even admits that, because he's a heart and soul guy. He is a perfect Berube fit. You know, he plays a strong two-way game. He is one of the few guys I feel that are left in the Blues locker room that you can still kind of look up to as a bit of a leader. Because they've lost a lot of leadership in the last couple of years with Petro and Steen, you know, just among others, you know, going off, you know, into their respective sunsets. Analytics likes Jaden Schwartz because of the game that he plays. The Blues will have about $18 million in projected salary cap space for next season without re-signing Jaden Schwartz. And so the money's there. He's probably going to want maybe Braden Schenn money. I think we kind of talked about that before, and Rutherford kind of confirmed that. I don't think he's a $6.5 million player. A $6 million player may be more palatable. But here's the other issue here that Rutherford raised, and it's kind of an interesting one. So again, the Blues will have about $18 million without re-signing Jaden Schwartz this offseason. One thing that a lot of people have been kind of complaining about, and I kind of agree with them, is that the Blues have a lot of really good second-line forwards, but not a lot of primo top-line talent. Like, Tarasenko is a primo top-line talent. He was playing on the third line on Monday, but regardless, they have a lot. They have a lot of similar type forwards that are in similar types of talent. And if you give Jaden Schwartz a long term contract, like a Braden Schenn, like a Torrey Krug, like a Justin Falk, like a Jordan Binnington, you see the kind of trend going here with long term contracts. If you give Jaden Schwartz that kind of a deal, you limit the mobility of a guy like Jordan Kyrou or Robert Thomas or Clem Costin move up in the lineup. But number two, wouldn't you rather, instead of paying $6 million for Jaden Schwartz, maybe pay a little bit more for a bona fide star in the offseason? I mean, I'm kind of torn on this one because I like Schwartz a lot. But is he what the Blues need right now, Mason?
Yeah, I think so, because think of all the leadership. We discussed this, you know, because we many episodes back, we talked about who would be more important to this team going forward, Binnington or Schwartz. I flat out said Schwartz, and it seemed like you guys agreed with me, because it's true. No, Russell's got a point there.
Yeah, Russell's got a point. Hall is good for NHL 21 team on franchise mode. I can confirm this, by the way, but not your actual NHL team.
Yeah, oh, there's a lot of players like that. But no, Jaden Schwartz is, besides O'Reilly and Schwartz and Schenn and Parayko, where's the leadership in the locker room?
Hasn't been there. I mean, Justin Falk's an assistant captain.
Justin Falk's getting there.
He stepped up, but I don't know if he's quite, you know, there yet, you know, per se, right, as far as being like a locker room leader yet. Could be over time, but not yet.
Yeah, Schwartz is, like you said, he plays a Berube-style game. He's a great two-way forward. That's what the Blues need right now. And I don't want to see Schwartz go. We already saw Petro go. We've seen Bo Meister go. We saw Steve. I can't take that. I emotionally cannot take that right now. You know, Schwartz is such an integral piece to the Blues' identity since 2010. You know? And by the way, another thing to consider is Schwartz and Tarasenko are like best buds, right?
That's true.
So that's yet another Tarasenko best friend that they traded away. They traded away Laterra. They traded away freaking Reeves. Traded away Petrangelo. Now they're going to trade away Schwartz. Like, Tarasenko's just going to up and quit at that point. Like, you clearly don't give a shit who I like.
So I have the fortune, by the way, of working with Tom Ackerman at KMOX, who is, you know, one of the you know, most beloved sports voices in St. Louis. And we were just having a casual conversation there that I don't think you'll have a problem with me saying this. But he kind of speculated when we were talking about Tarasenko playing on the third line. He's kind of wondering if Tarasenko is the type of player that other teammates don't like playing with, because he's, you know, he can be a bit of a puck hog for one. But, you know, he's such a dynamic player that maybe other players are intimidated by playing on the same line as him. I don't think Jaden Schwartz is one of those players, because as you said, Schwartz and Tarasenko, they've been line mates for much of their career. They are there, as you said, they are mates. And as Russell Clark said, I'm kind of leaning towards what Russell Clark is saying here. Trading Schwartz would be a crime. Yes. He's an engine on this team. He is. I don't have a problem giving him, you know, like a 4-year, $6 million per contract. He might ask for a little bit more than that. He might get Shen money. We may just have to bite the bullet on that. But the Blues will have the money this offseason, so it's not like he's going to financially cripple this team. I don't think he's. That's not a contract. I don't think, even if you give him 4 or 5 years, you're not going to regret that, I don't think.
Right, right. And the other thing about Schwartz is there are very few players on the Blues roster that I could see this about. If we overpay him, I'm not going to care that much. If we overpay for Schwartz, even if we gave him $8 million a season, it's one of those players I'm kind of okay with overpaying. You know, Parayko's the other one, O'Reilly's another one, and Tarasenko's the other one. If we overpay for them, whatever.
Asterisk with Parayko, because that all kind of depends on his back going forward. But
of course.
But, you know, and again,
he's such a likable player, though. It's not really, you know, it's not just because of, you know, his talent going forward. It's that he's just such a likable person on this team.
He is. I mean, Craig Berube would let him date his daughter. That's how nice he is. So. You know, he actually said that, by the way. He said that before. So, you know, that it's the actual truth. And I can confirm.
See, that's got to count for something.
I've been in post-game scrums with Parayko before, and he's a super friendly guy. And he's super patient with the media. He's a big teddy bear. That you're right. That's basically what he is. He's a big teddy bear. So I don't want to see Parayko go, and I hope he's okay going forward. One difficulty with Schwartz is that he does have a 15-team no-trade clause. So the market would be thin for him, and I think he comes back. I think he should come back.
He's too key. If Armstrong trades Schwartz, then that is a giant fuck you to Berube if he's traded. That's what that is.
Definitely, because Schwartz is definitely a Berube type of a player. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been kind of worth noting, too, that it seems like that, you know, one thing Rutherford pointed out, talks between the two sides have been kind of quiet. So I don't know if there's any Petro drama going on behind closed doors. I don't think there is, but
that doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would happen.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a valid conversation to have with Schwartz. I just don't want to see him go. He's a favorite. And then the other person that Rutherford thought could go imminently, like this deadline, would be Vince Dunn. And we've talked about him ad nauseum. If you don't get rid of him now, get rid of him in the offseason, whether he goes to Seattle or gets traded. The quality of play issue is an issue. He's still an analytics darling, but the one thing with him was, you know, going into the season, he was protected on this team. He didn't play against a lot of top competition. This year he has, and guess what? It's not been good. Exactly. And it's just not only that, there is friction between Vince Dunn and the team itself. As Rutherford pointed out, he was not happy with how his contract negotiations went with the team this past offseason. He did not have arbitration rights. So he didn't have really, you know, a lot of leverage to work with here. This offseason, he has arbitration rights. So he might ask for a raise. The Blues, I don't think you're going to be willing to give it to him, honestly. You're probably looking at another Joel Edmondson type of a situation, where Edmondson was a restricted free agent. He was in the team's doghouse. The team still paid him, but You know,
that immediately moved it.
But as has been reported, you know, that offseason, the Blues are trying to move Edmondson, and it just so happened to work out with Justin Falk, you know, and the Carolina Hurricanes, which, yes, we can say that trade's worked out. So it's fine.
Couldn't say that last year. Can definitely say that this year. Well, no, last year we could still say because Edmonton sucks.
He was, yeah, he started off well in Carolina, and then he just faded. And even in Montreal, I've heard, I think your buddy King Angus has said that Edmondson is not as good as his plus minus indicates. And also our friends at Habs Nightly could also tell you that Edmondson is basically a pylon. So, you know, which sounds like Vince Dunn. So, Dunn, I don't think we even need to talk about Dunn. He's going to be gone one way, shape, or another.
Do you think maybe his play was affected by how the negotiations went with the contract? It didn't go well, and so he goes, well, fuck you too.
I think I don't know him personally. I've never had a chance to, like, you know, see him in a post-game scrum or anything like that. So I don't know a lot about his personality, but I know he's a young guy, and, you know, he's 24 years old. I also noticed, by the way, and this may be just completely unrelated, but during the pandemic, Vince Dunn was streaming on Twitch like every single day. And he's a hell of a Fortnite player. He is an absolute ace Fortnite player. Him and Robert Thomas both.
And Cairo.
He hasn't been streaming at all this year, which, I mean, he's probably focusing on hockey, which is probably the best thing. But yeah. I wonder if his dauber's down a little bit, you know, with...
We got a Patrick Laine situation.
Yeah, he's a defensive lineman. Dude,
it makes so much sense. Had that aha moment right there.
I can tell.
Patrick Laine streamed Fortnite and his stats declined. And now Vince Dunn did it. It makes too much sense.
We figured it out. Blame it on Fortnite. Fortnite should be a league-wide ban. And we can confirm, by the way, that Jake Neighbors and Colton Ellis, both former guests on Blue Notes, by the way, they're not gamers.
Not gamers.
And so you know, they might be okay. They might be able to avoid the Fortnite curse here, you know, between Line A, between Vince Dunn. I think, didn't the Vancouver Canucks, like, ban Fortnite in their locker room?
Yes, they did. I remember that. Yeah. No. It was Edmonton, I believe.
It was one of the Western Canadian teams.
Yeah, I believe it was Edmonton.
I think you're right. I think it might have been Edmonton, yeah.
I just figured it out.
Okay.
Because Robert Thomas and Jordan Cairo also played with them.
Yeah.
Also played with Vince Dunn. And they won that whole tournament. Remember that? They won that whole tournament.
They did.
How's Robert Thomas been since he came back?
Invisible. I didn't even think he was back. That's how invisible he's been.
How has Jordan Cairo been the last 14 games?
Pointless.
Invisible.
Very invisible, which, you know, there could be something there. There could be something there.
We figured Kyrie, it out.
Yeah, Cairo, I still like Cairo as a player, but I think he's got the potential to be very streaky.
Being too fancy. He's too confident. He's got a lot of confidence right now, which is good, and I love to see that out of a rookie, but... He's trying all these dipsy doodle moves and shit, and it's not working. The reason why he was scoring so much is because he simplified his game. He just needs to simplify his game, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, but I think the league figured him out. I think the league figured him out then, yeah. And his style of play, if he's going to be trying to, you know, dangle everyone, that's not going to work. I mean, I don't think he is. He doesn't have, you know, Connor McDavid-level hands or, you know, I mean, he's very good, but, I mean, he's not that good.
He's Walmart Connor McDavid.
Walmart, so Speed Demon's no longer elite. Is that what you're saying?
No, Speed Demon is still elite. But
okay, you're not going to retract that.
No, not going to retract Speed Demon as elite because he's still just a checking. Good player. He just needs to simplify his game is all. I still have faith in Jordan Cairo. I still do. I still have faith in Robert Thomas. One player I do not have faith in is Vince Dunn.
Yeah, I've lost faith with him. I think Dunn is done in more ways than one. I don't think
a terrible pun.
I know. It's overdone. It's just overdone.
You know, this isn't even fun anymore.
No, not really. And of course, we're doing this, by the way, as we are looking down the barrel after Vegas tonight. We're recording this before the Wednesday night game. Who knows? This could all be relevant. If you're listening to this on Thursday or later, this could all be relevant. The Blues could have, you know, stomped a mud hole in Vegas tonight and won 7-1. No, that probably didn't happen. That probably didn't happen. But if it did, please feel free to ridicule us. But we are staring down the barrel of 3 games in 4 days with the Minnesota Wild. And based on our one game against the Minnesota Wild, they shut the Blues out 2-0. Their goaltending, Cam Talbot.
They only had 11 shots.
Yeah, it was so sad. Kaapo Kakkonen, the Wild suddenly have one of the best goalie tandems in the league, and that's just absolutely mind-blowing. They have, you know, Kaprizov, who scored against the Blues and is generally just a sensation in general. The Wild are actually fun to watch now again, which has been a long time since we've been able to say that, because they were the most boring fucking team in hockey, you know, up until this year. They were just boring as hell.
Besides them and Columbus were the two that were just so mind-numbingly bad to watch.
Yeah, and now they're the team that is sitting comfortably in third, and they probably will finish third, and I don't think they have a whole lot to worry about. That was us at one point, by the way. That was the Blues at one point. We were expected to be that number three team. We thought the Coyotes would be fourth, which it looks like they might be fourth. You know, all four of us, before you joined, Mason, Wags, me, Guy, and Luke all predicted the Coyotes would finish fourth. And of course, early in the season, everyone was laughing at us for that, but guess what? They're in fourth right now, and I knew that was going to happen too. And they have a 5-point cushion in fourth place right now, and I don't see any reason why they won't hold on to it. Because I've always said Arizona has the talent. They've got the young talent. They've got a good goaltending tandem. They just behind the scenes are a bit of a mess, but they seem to be getting it together. And I don't think the Blues are going to catch them. We're waving the white flag. It's done. So.
Pull the shoot.
And we're not even talking about Vince Dunn anymore. So hopefully we won't have to talk about him much longer either. So we'll see.
Wonderful. Until he scores like a hat trick in his return to St. Louis. But like, yeah.
Anyway, let me remind you that it is also baseball season as well. And as Rooster Cogburn points out, it's not too late to sign Yadier Molina as a goalie. Adam Wainwright actually had a video before this offseason. I think it was Channel 5 here in St. Louis, mistakenly said that he had signed an extension with the Blues, not the Cardinals. So he did a whole video where he was like working on his wrist shot, his slap shot. I think he even put on a goalie helmet. You know what? If Husso continues to pancake, and if Binnington continues to pancake, why not give Adam Wainwright a shot?
If he gives a general damn, fine. Suit him up. I've straight up said I play defense. I'll suit up for him. If you really need somebody, I'll do it.
By the way, here's one reason I think Wainwright might be actually goalie material. He is 6'7", 230 pounds. So he's got that size going for him, and he's clutch. So just saying, if this whole pitching thing doesn't work out, suit him up and have him play
again. I have a feeling it will, though.
I think it will. It's Waino. He's great. He's great. But this is the Blues podcast, and that is going to do it for us here on Blue Notes. Any final thoughts before we continue to watch our team die?
Don't get embarrassed today.
They will. I'm sorry.
They're not going to listen to me. But don't get embarrassed. If you get embarrassed in this one, I'm going to make the Blue Notes video 30 seconds long.
Okay. By the way, they barely listen to Bruby anymore, I think. So, I mean, I don't think they'll
listen to me. That's true. What makes you think they'll listen to a 20-year-old fat kid in his basement? Yeah.
Exactly. Over Craig Bruby, who could probably still, you know, kick your ass. So, you know.
Probably.
And everyone's
ass. I'm taller than him. I can probably kick his ass.
No, you can't.
Square up. Square up, Chief!
No,
you can't.
No. No chance. This is how Mason copes, by the way. This is how he, you know,
deals with sadness. I have a punching bag in the garage.
I had one for a while too. You know what? It's really good exercise, by the way.
It's really good exercise.
I recommend punching bags for exercise and as well as stress relief.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Blue Notes. I want to thank you for listening and watching, because without you, there is no me. There is no Mason. There is no Guy, who is probably doing his pregame show right now. And there is no Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Tom Franklin, reminding you to not be a chump. And Mason,
play to the whistle, for God's sake.
A reminder that you can follow Blue Notes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Blue Notes Pod. I'm the voice of the Blues, Tom Calhoun. Jeremy Boyer, play us out.
Russell.
Coming soon to pay-per-view. You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from. And say no to Hall!